collaboration with New Light Theatre Group and 21st Century Productions UK, British Sky Broadcasting presents a Neil J. Gardner production, Back in Business, written and directed by Chris Monroe. The audio description is by Tony Cook on behalf of the MCS Agency. The music is composed and conducted by Mark Thomas. Myriads of stars sparkle in a black sky. Under the night sky, lights shine from inside a silo that from the outside resembles a sort of plastic pod. Next, a circular part of a space station that looks like it's wrapped in reflective silver foil. There's a metallic tube with a reinforced porthole and an escape hatch. Next, a satellite with extended solar panels. Two service elevators with walls of glass slowly descend next to a huge Thor propulsion rocket that is static. A man and a woman ride in one elevator. Men in suits are in the other. A caption says, British Space Agency. Well-heeled guests in formal evening wear gather for a champagne reception.
Ladies, gentlemen, distinguished international guests. Firstly, let me thank you all for joining us here at the British Space Agency on this momentous occasion. I'd like to welcome you all to the presentation of our very own astronautical roving space explorer. I'm Fiona Arlington Spencer, and as Director of Press Relations, I feel that I must explain to you that the strict security protocol surrounding this project prevents us from allowing any photography or closer inspection of the fully functional prototype which we're about to see. Now it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you the head of the British Space Agency, Mr. Trevor Pilkington.
A heavy-set bearded man climbs onto the makeshift stage.
Thank you, Fiona!
He pecks the attractive blonde on the cheek.
Oh, well... good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. Well, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Explorer!
Fireworks flare up as an eight-wheel vehicle with a satellite dish and robotic arms turns on a plinth.
The most sophisticated space rover ever conceived. This technological marvel, designed entirely by the British Space Agency, is an entirely new concept. Oh, dear. I've never done this before. But where do I start? This is indeed a great moment for us all here at the British Space Agency.
So, Travis, what do you think?
Security restrictions placed upon
Interesting.
Here, I will attempt to demonstrate how fully confident we are.
You still want in?
British design is more
Maybe.
Technologically advanced than any other device of its kind, including both the American and the Russian roving vehicles. Now, the IDD robotic arm, with its advanced design, when used in conjunction with the high-powered microscopic imager, is able to find and identify any number of different objects, including perhaps even the legendary Alpha One, which could replace our rapidly decreasing stocks of fossil fuels.
Спасибо, женщина.
Спасибо.
Фиона, мы можем говорить с тебе последняя неделя.
Так точно. Perhaps when you've decided, you'll let me know.
A white-haired Oriental.
两场单后, 可以见你吗?
好的,没问题。谢谢。
That was rather impressive. You speak Russian and Chinese.
Actually, they were Taiwanese. I only speak two dialects of Mandarin and three of Cantonese.
Do you do Japanese?
Ultimately, the great will be put back into Great Britain by this revolutionary all-British invention!
The space rover Explorer turns again, lit by lights. An aristocratic-looking man peers through his specs. Back in business stars Martin Kemp as Will Spencer and Chris Barry as Tom Marks. Also starring Brian Blessed as Trevor Pilkington, Joanna Taylor as the blonde Fiona, Stephen Booth, Togo Igawa, Frank Thornton, Laurentiu Possa, Rocky Taylor, Alison King, Stephen Greif and Samantha Bennett, and Dennis Waterman as Jarvis. Scarf, who was at the reception, now sits in a tube station sushi bar with the blonde Fiona. The food revolves on a conveyor belt.
I'm confused.
The Chinese want it, and so do the Russians.
So who do we sell to?
We sell to both.
How?
Fiona tells the waitress in Japanese he thinks this will help him get into my knickers.
I think we need more help. The Explorer is big news. No other country has anything like it. So foreign space agencies want to create a more level playing field, which means we sell it and they're queuing up to buy it. Everyone wants the IDD device.
Yeah? Well, can't be that hard to create a robotic arm. Haven't you seen Terminator?
In the car, Fiona gives him a brittle stare.
So, he was one of the youngest peers ever to take his seat in the House of Lords. A brilliant Cambridge graduate and a terrific trade ambassador for Britain. During the mid-80s, his job was to turn around the country's cash flow situation. He sold Rolls-Royce to the Germans, water companies to the French. He even managed to sell Hong Kong back to the Chinese. And he would do anything for his favourite niece, Lord William Arlington Spencer.
So you're really a lord? It's incredible. With your own butler and everything. Can't believe this. Really, I can't.
His lordship throws a morsel to his Jack Russell.
Close the door, would you, old chap? See that we're not disturbed.
Yes, my lord.
The butler leaves.
And I find it difficult to believe that you're Tom's son.
You know my dad?
You see, your father and I, we were at Cambridge together in the footlights. Cambridge in those days tended to produce either spies or actors. It was never Shakespeare, but we always had fun.
Remember when you found that prize-winning marrow? Turned out to be an unexploded bomb.
Yeah, but if I hadn't barreled it down the road and into our kitchen, it might still be there today.
And so would Cedar's Crescent.
We became something of a duo. Tom Marks and Will Spencer. We called ourselves
Marks and Spencer.
We continued after university, but in somewhat different roles.
Ah, the bold Lord Spencer.
If it isn't my old friend, Inspector Jarvis.
Now, I need to know your whereabouts on the evening of the 14th of February, and that of one Thomas Marks.
This is becoming slightly tiresome, Jarvis.
Is it? Officer!
My lord?
My whereabouts and that of my friends is none of your concern.
I'm afraid that's where you're wrong, sir.
Officer, I have an important governmental meeting at 11 o'clock. It's now almost 10:20. And this man is harassing me.
Lord Spencer,
sir, I think we'll...
Inspector Eric Jarvis was determined to try and pin something on me, but he just wasn't clever enough. And now he'd unwittingly established, in front of another police officer, my time of departure from the Houses of Parliament. You and your mother even helped out on occasions.
Wait a moment, Charlie.
The policeman is distracted.
He definitely wants an ice cream. He's wrecking my trousers.
Lord Spencer leads three Orientals through the pier's entrance to the Lords.
Gentlemen, Her Majesty has requested the utmost secrecy in this transaction. And there will be no official record of us meeting here today, or even of your visit here. Is that clear?
They go up a staircase into an office.
Gentlemen, as you know, the heritage example on offer here today is Tower Bridge. Not to be confused with London Bridge, the original of which was sold in 1962 and rebuilt in Arizona, brick by brick. Rumour has it that the Americans were disappointed in their purchase, believing that they were going to get Tower Bridge, one of London's best-known landmarks. Now, gentlemen, do you have the fee?
A briefcase is handed over. Spencer gives them a model of the Tower Bridge.
If you'll give me a moment, gentlemen, I'll see to it that all the paperwork's in order.
While the Orientals study the model, Spencer goes through another door where a queen lookalike with a crown on her head sits in a high-backed regal chair at a long table. He leaves the door open and presents her with the briefcase. She signs some papers.
Thank you.
Spencer returns to the Oriental gentleman with the papers and shuts the door after him.
Gentlemen, Her Majesty looks forward to meeting you at the official handover. Now, it's the 23rd of March today, so that's in just over a week's time on the 1st of next month. After you, gentlemen. Tom's mastery of disguise and the art of quick change gave credence to our otherwise implausible scam.
Tom takes off his wig and wipes his face. Outside, the Orientals excitedly hold the model bridge up to the real one. They turn to see three Russians also holding the model excitedly. Three Americans have been duped as well. Now they all stand together while Inspector Jarvis tries to sort it out.
So what happened to Tom? Somehow we lost touch.
He tried to continue his acting, but the right parts just didn't come along.
Near the London Eye, Tom is painted silver, pretending to be a statue. A girl drops a coin into his bowl, but ignores him when he comes alive. Next on stage, he's the rear end of a horse and falls out of the costume.
I am the big banana.
Now he dances along a street, dressed as a banana.
Truly a great thespian. And your mother?
My mum? Well, she said she couldn't stand men any longer. She ran off to join the army, which I'd never really understood. I mean, if you can't stand men, why join the army? It's full of men.
Spencer studies Tom's son, Travis.
So how about you, Uncle? What's happened to Petra?
Dear Petrushka, I introduced her to my friends as my fiancé. In reality, I think I was just a financier. Why should a 24-year-old Baltic beauty be interested in a fading aristocrat like me?
He has a flashback to her shopping and then doing more shopping.
For Petrushka, I think the attraction was purely fiscal. So, it's just myself and Jarvis here now.
Jarvis?
Now, do any of you recognise this man?
Yes.
Well, what about him?
It's the Queen. We have a signature.
Hey, look. Here she comes now.
A Margaret Thatcher lookalike.
Sadly, I had to call in some old favours to get him off our backs.
Inspector Jarvis, might I have a word?
Most certainly, ma'am.
This is the final straw, Jarvis. You're out of Scotland Yard for good, and you can certainly forget about your pension. And if I ever hear of you harassing Lord Spencer again, I'll have you arrested. Drive on!
Well, I felt responsible for him losing his pension, and he's been with me ever since.
Lord Spencer?
As my manservant.
Jarvis is listening outside the door.
But deep down, I'm not so sure he's ever really given up trying to pin something on me. There's something of a Victor Hugo character about him. Javert never gave up his search for Jean Valjean. Les Miserables.
I thought he seemed like quite a cheerful sort of guy.
Jarvis screws up his face as he listens and takes notes.
We can't do this without Tom.
It's nighttime. Two lights are on downstairs at Spencer's stately home. The dog leaps up at the inside of the door. Jarvis wakes in his bed as he hears the pounding and the barking. Looking angry, Jarvis switches on his bedside lamp and checks his wristwatch, which lies on the table. He grabs his dressing gown and goes downstairs to find a policeman at the door.
Excuse me, sir. I need to question Lord Arlington Spencer.
Oh, fine. You believe me, eh?
This is a serious matter of the utmost importance, sir.
Yeah, you ignored all the phone calls, didn't you? All the tip-offs. I knew they were up to something.
Spencer is reading in bed.
You wouldn't by any chance be a Mr. Lord William Aloysius Arlington Spencer, would you, sir?
Tom. Fantastic. You made it.
Well.
You made it. Get us some tea, would you, Jarvis?
Oh, and polish my helmet, will you?
It's been a few years since the old Marks and Spencer routine, eh?
Too long. Well, you look well. I hear you're top banana.
Hey, get it right. The big banana. And I've also done a couple of pilots, which are going to be picked up any time now, and I was that close to being the voice of Starfish Selectica. So, this gig, tell me all about it.
Well, to be honest with you, Tom, I didn't think you'd be interested, which is why we got your boy involved. But, well, he appears not to have your talents.
Look, when I was bringing Travis up on my own, it wasn't that easy. Often I'd just plonk him in front of a computer to play video games all day. And that's what he's learned, that's what he knows. Computers. Times have changed. We may need his skills.
Well, that's as may be, Tom. But I can't do it without you.
If I'm going to do this job, it'll be as much for him as for me. If he's not in, neither am I.
Next day.
So what do you think? Russian or Chinese?
How about Japanese?
I don't do Japanese.
In my experience, the Orientals are more honourable and easier to do business with.
Though maybe a little less gullible?
Chinese.
Fiona plucks a piece of paper from Spencer's hand and makes a phone call. A caption translates, "It's Fiona. I think we may have a deal." Next, she escorts four Chinese men in suits to a glass lift at the British Space Agency.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking the time to meet with us here today. I'm sure that you'll all appreciate that all discussions held here today will be subject to total confidentiality. Due to the delicate nature of these negotiations, I'm going to leave you in the very capable hands of our governmental trade envoy, Lord Plumly Smythe.
Ah, thank you, Fiona. Ni hao ma. Wan ying, lai dang chui. As Miss Arlington Spencer has already mentioned, this offer is made in the strictest confidence. It is a matter of national security, authorised only at the highest intelligence level. There will be no official record of us having met today, nor of your meeting with the head of the space agency, Mr. Trevor Pilkington.
Ah, gentlemen, come in, come in. This is a great honour and a great privilege. Please, gentlemen, sit down. Well, welcome, and thank you so much for coming today. I feel that I must fully explain my reasons for making you this offer, even though it may appear initially to be against the interest of our national security. The point is that I am both a scientist, a humanitarian, and a realist. Actually, that's three. Our country... Our country does not have the financial resources to make full use of this incredible advance in space technology. Now, should we be able to proceed in a mission to Mars, then Explorer, together with the seek and find characteristics of IDD, would undoubtedly discover Alpha Rock, which would benefit mankind greatly and significantly reduce the planet's pollution influence decline.
we receive merely a fraction in funding to that of the Americans, the Russians, or yourselves.
But feel that the great power that China has become over recent years will be best placed to progress this great discovery to its ultimate end. And another
gentlemen,
thing...
We discussed a cash settlement in US dollars. If you'd like to pass that to me for safekeeping.
A briefcase is passed to the senior man.
With the utmost respect, Lord Smythe, we have had previous bad experience in your country when purchasing items of national importance, even when dealing with such eminent intermediary as yourself.
Our instructions are
only to give cash when we receive goods.
Sitting behind glass doors, alarm sweeps Fiona's face.
I suggest you call us when you have Explorer ready for inspection and delivery.
Fiona, I think that concludes our preliminary negotiations. If you'd like to see our guests out.
As Fiona escorts the men away, she eavesdrops. You were right, says one in Chinese. It's the same old trick. They must think we're stupid. One of them is on a mobile. He says, no sign of the Russians. I'm sure they're around, though. In a van in the car park, two Russians are listening into the mobile call.
We are in a high security area, so if you wouldn't mind all staying together.
The call ends with the words, I quite fancy that, Fiona.
Times have changed, Tom. Not so easy these days.
I guess that's the price of infamy. Too many people have heard of the old routine.
It's a sad reflection on society, though, when the trust has gone from international commerce.
Tom zips up his travel bag and looks glum. On their surveillance monitor in the van, the Russians see a figure approaching Fiona's Mini in the car park.
Boris, visitor.
The Russians zoom in on the car. They watch as the figure zaps the lock on the Mini. The figure climbs into the back seat. A pair of shapely legs in high heels steps towards the Mini. It's Fiona. She gets into the driving seat. As she puts on her seatbelt, a gloved hand touches her on the shoulder. It's Travis.
Thought I'd better see you got out okay. In case the Chinese turn nasty. All right, shotgun.
She grimaces as he climbs into the front.
How can you be so stupid? Don't answer that.
As she pulls away, the Russian van cuts in front. A man gets out and sprays foam over the windscreen before sticking a knife through. The blade slices Travis's seatbelt. The Russians whisk the two of them to a safe house. With his hands tied, Travis is plonked in a chair. One of the Russians says to the other, "Hey, stupid, that's my chair. Can't you see he's wet himself?" Travis is pulled from the chair and his bobble hat is used to wipe the seat.
Should we speak Russian or English? Does he understand Ruski?
I'm not sure he understands English.
You have been cheating on us, Babushka. With the Chinese. You told me we would have first refusal.
We were just opening negotiations, Yevgeny. There's still plenty of time for you to make an offer. But it has to be in dollars, and it has to be good.
Let us not discuss money. It's so crude. We will pay a fair price, and perhaps leave your friend his balls.
You can keep his balls for all I care. I need to speak to my uncle. But I'm sure we can come to a mutually satisfactory agreement.
You speak with uncle. We keep your friend as insurance. But he smells bad. We will keep him with dogs.
The Russian Boris wipes his knife. Travis sits with his hat stuffed in his mouth. A damp patch stains his trousers. Fiona's Mini stops in front of Spencer's stately home. She walks in on Spencer and Tom as they sip brandy in the library.
Things may not be going according to plan, Tom, but it's like the old days.
It is.
Fiona, how'd it go? Did they take the bait?
Yes, but they also took Travis. He was in the car.
Why was he in the car? I told you, I'd seen the Russians at the Space Center. All you had to do was let them stop you.
Don't worry, it'll be fine. We can still do it. And then we'll get Travis back once they get the Explorer.
Without Travis, we can't get the Explorer. We need him more than we need me.
Look, Will, the boy's not stupid. He just needs proper training.
We've got to get him.
I just hope we get all of him. They were threatening to cut his balls.
Tom knocks back his brandy and sits.
Tom, don't worry. We're a team. And we need his computing skills. Fiona, get on the phone to the Russians. Tell them there's no deal unless we get Travis back.
At the safe house, a captain translates, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to tear you limb from limb. It's Travis and the Russian Yevgeny playing a video game. Yevgeny says, I am the Siberian champion. You must be cheating.
I've spoken to my uncle. He says you can do what you want with Travis. The problem is we can't get the Explorer without him.
Fiona hands the phone to Spencer. Jarvis, freckled, with balding red hair, is straining to listen outside the door, but looks unhappy as the Jack Russell snarls at him. The dog licks its lips as Jarvis gives up and steps away.
Very well. I'll give you my right-hand man. The boy's father.
Jarvis arrives back at the door to listen, but the dog is still guarding it. In the morning, Jarvis serves a cooked breakfast.
No Mr. Travis this morning?
No, he stayed in London last night, Jarvis. I'm going to meet him later. I think I'll go up on the Rattler. Any chance of a ride to the station?
What time are you coming back, Tom? Only the train stopped running out here after about 10.
Well, actually, I've got an invite to a first night at the Playhouse. New play by an old friend. But I don't expect that'll come down until about 10:30.
Then go up on the train. Jarvis can drive up later, pick you and Travis up after the show. We can send out for some supper. How'd you fancy Chinese?
Sounds lovely.
So, shall we say 11:30? Give you time for some thespian chat with your theatrical chums.
Would that be all right, Jarvis?
It's what I'm here for, sir.
Jarvis gives them all a look of disdain. In his chauffeur's uniform, he waits outside a London theatre. Theatregoers are leaving. He checks his watch, half listens to the car radio, and waits, looking frustrated.
My wife a big problem.
Well, there can be many causes for erectile dysfunction. I mean...
Jarvis snoozes.
The time is 12 o'clock. Here's the latest headlines.
Tom eventually arrives.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Jarvis.
Where are you going? Mr. Marks? What on earth do you think you're doing?
Oh, come on, Jarvis. Just a little eatsy-weensy go in it. I've never driven one of these before.
No. And what about Mr. Travis?
Well, I told him to meet us this side of the bridge, but knowing Travis, he's probably waiting on the other side. Nip over and have a look for him, will you?
Certainly not.
Go on, Jarvis. It'll only take a minute. I'll stay with the car in case he turns up this side.
This vehicle is insured for two people only.
Go on, off you go. Off you go. There's a good man. Shoo.
Jarvis begrudgingly steps towards the bridge. Tom, in the driving seat, puts the chauffeur's cap on.
Off you go, Jarvis. There's a good chap.
Behind Jarvis, Tom flashes the car headlights. Jarvis plods across the London Millennium Footbridge. The signal is seen from the other side of the steel pedestrian suspension bridge spanning the River Thames. Jarvis shakes his head as he strides briskly. Moving less briskly, another pair of feet are approaching him on the bridge's paving slabs. They belong to a figure wearing jeans and a bobble hat. Jarvis checks his wristwatch. The figure approaching Jarvis removes his hat and breaks into a smile. The two Russians each take one of Jarvis's arms and haul him backwards across the bridge. Next, Travis is with his dad in the car.
Arlington Hall, please, my man, and don't spare the horses.
Right you are, my lad. Should have you back home by first light, just in time for breakfast.
Oh, Dad, this is fantastic. Can't believe you and Will just gave it all up.
Well, I had my reasons. I never knew about Will. He just seemed to give up on everything.
So, why did you do it?
The scams, I mean. Money?
the excitement. We were intoxicated by it.
Now we no longer have Jarvis, you may have to take on culinary duties for a while.
Don't be ridiculous, Uncle. What do I know about cooking? Mother couldn't even boil an egg.
I once presented a cookery program, you know.
Really? Did you actually do the cooking?
No, I just opened the oven and said in an irritatingly genial way, here's one I prepared earlier.
Lovely.
Right, today's action day. With Jarvis out of the way, we go for the jackpot. We liberate Explorer and the IDD device.
You want to actually take the Explorer? How are we going to get it out of the lab? I thought we were just taking the blueprints.
You heard the Chinese. They're questioning our integrity. We need to deliver Explorer.
And what about the Russians? They'll want it too.
Yes. We've only got one prototype. How are we going to sell one vehicle to two governments?
That'll be the easy part.
Will, we're not common thieves. I don't see how we can possibly just take the Explorer.
We may not be thieves, Tom, but we are good at what we do. We need the Explorer and we provide a copy.
You mean make our own?
Exactly.
How are we going to do that? You've promised to deliver in 1 week.
I'm sure between us we all have the necessary skills.
I used to build model aeroplanes when I was a kid.
Yeah, they were supposed to be trains, weren't they?
We're going to need detailed plans. Do you think you can get me the blueprints?
Yes, absolutely. I just need to know exactly what I'm looking for. And I need to work out a way to get through the security system.
They'll be in data format. You'll need a digital signature password and biometric recognition. Perhaps I should come along.
Really? Do you not have a date or anything? I'm sure your Russian friends would love to see you.
We're all going to go along. I can't risk you getting caught, Fiona. So here's the plan.
On a computer at the space agency, Travis trawls up shots from security cameras. He locks onto a picture of Fiona entering a storeroom to change into a white protective suit. His eyebrows go up as he watches her take her top off. She has her back to the camera, but suddenly turns angrily, covering herself. Travis smiles broadly. She throws her discarded top over the camera.
Any luck? Not so far.
Travis brings up a picture of the laboratory where the Explorer prototype is kept. He sees Fiona outside the hatch-type door.
Bingo.
A warning on the screen says, proximity alert. Tom and Spencer peer over Travis's shoulder.
Here we go.
I'm sure she can pull this off.
Jeans, gentlemen. It's all in the jeans.
There's some pretty good stuff in those jeans.
The hatch door suddenly opens.
You can't come in here. You haven't got security clearance.
I just wanted to get a closer look at the Explorer if I'm going to write up detailed marketing materials.
You're just going to have to make do with the marketing material you use for the presentation. Now, if you can excuse me.
Just a quick look.
Sorry.
No? Okay.
A bearded technician closes the door from the inside.
She should have flaunted a bit more cleavage.
Cleavage is not the answer to everything, Travis. What I want to know is, what are we going to do now?
Fiona appears.
Listen, Fiona, you tried your best.
Yes, I did. Why else would a man have invented the bra other than for somewhere for a girl to hide her valuables?
A plastic card.
Great.
Well done.
Oh, really?
She sees on Travis's screen a picture of herself when she went to change. Travis smirks.
Okay, everyone, synchronize watches.
I don't have a watch.
We can't tell the time anyway.
The four of them emerge from three toilet cubicles. Fiona rips a mask from Travis's face.
Tom, put this on. Create the diversion while we reset the security cameras.
Spencer hands Tom a white suit. In a security office, monitors show surveillance pictures. A guard glances at them and then back at his newspaper.
I'm going to reconfigure the security cameras so they replay last night's footage.
On a monitor, the guard sees a white-clad figure banging and kicking at a vending machine. Elsewhere, Travis is tapping into a computer. The guard is focused on the white-clad figure and doesn't notice his other monitors briefly losing their pictures.
Try the top right-hand corner, mate. That usually works.
The figure turns to the camera. It's Tom.
Thank you, God.
Watched by Fiona and Spencer, Travis is still working on the computer. Blinding floodlights come on. Data flows over the screen. Ahead of them, the doomed laboratory is lit up. They rush towards the laboratory. Wearing combat gear and camouflage paint on his face, Travis whips back a dark sheet, covering a white mock-up of the Explorer.
I don't understand. Where's the Explorer?
It must be in the lab.
Wait there!
Spencer dashes down some steps and presses a keypad beneath a monitor.
An old stage illusionist trick.
Fiona and Travis turn to see the mock-up circling on a plinth, looking just like the Explorer that was revealed at the launch presentation.
A projected image.
It looks like an all-terrain small silver tank with four wheels at each side, a robotic arm, and collection tanks at the back. Fiona stares wide-eyed, Travis beams. The three of them go through the heavy hatch door to the lab. Fiona puts the plastic card she secreted into a keylock.
Got this from a senior lab technician. It should work.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind. Today. Thank you.
Sequential password, changing over 24 hours. I need to decrypt today's.
Well done, Travis. I'm starting to see a family resemblance after all.
An inner door slides open.
Forget sequential passwords. This will be far more sophisticated. I need to hack in.
In the inner sanctuary, Travis goes to work on a computer once more. The British Space Agency logo appears.
Okay, I'm in.
A message flashes up. Access denied. Incorrect entry. Confirm password to abort security alert.
What's happening?
The whole place is shutting down.
Travis works desperately at the keyboard. Access is still denied. A message says there is only one attempt left before total shutdown. Spencer takes over. A new message flashes up. Access accepted. Security level 1 confirmed. He glances gloatingly at Travis as the blueprints appear on the screen.
Maybe we can sell the blueprints instead of the actual Explorer.
It's got to be the Explorer. Get this data downloaded for me.
Have a look at this. I don't think the Explorer's been developed yet.
As Travis transfers the blueprints to his laptop, Spencer picks up a remote control device.
Nobody's beyond stretching the truth, and that includes the British Space Agency.
Fiona peers through a camera viewfinder. Ahead of them, on a mock-up of a rocky terrain, a model of the Explorer comes shakily to life. It crashes and turns on its side like a remote control toy.
Will, I've just seen the camera.
Spencer picks the model up and puts it back on its wheels. Travis takes a photo.
What's taking so long?
They stare at Tom in his white protective suit, eating a packet of crisps he got from the vending machine. Next, they're all back at Spencer's house.
You know, I saw this movie once about the moon landings. The idea was that it never actually took place, and it was all filmed in a studio.
A conspiracy theory?
No, it was called Capricorn One.
No, but the idea of mocking the whole thing up is cool. Never mind.
It does make sense, actually. The British Space Agency has a very limited budget. I'm not sure they could ever actually finance Explorer.
Yes, but surely eventually they'd have to produce it and send it on a mission.
But how about if it was sent to Mars? Came stranded, lost radio contact. Who would be any the wiser?
Spencer bends down to give his dog, Todger, a titbit. The animal gets up, walks away and slumps down again.
We've made a mistake.
What's wrong, Will?
Look at Todger. He's pining for Jarvis. Plus, I can't think straight if I'm not eating properly.
At the safe house, Jarvis drinks and plays chess.
Oh, no.
Boris? Could I have a clean glass, please? This one's absolutely filthy. You really should do something about the standard of hygiene here. The housekeeping's appalling.
At Spencer's house, Travis studies the dog.
Dad, doesn't he remind you of my old dog, Lucky, in America?
What?
You said we couldn't bring him back with us, and that he'd been, What was it, Dad?
It's not the issue.
Humanely euthanized. Oh. Just hope he went to a good home.
You idiot, you must know that humanely euthanized means...
Fiona, get on to the Russians. Tell them we can't deliver without Jarvis.
Check. Mate. I'm amazed you were so easily fooled by the classic Ilyushin maneuver, made famous by one of your very own countrymen, you know. 1929, I think it is, and if I'm not very much mistaken, Helsinki.
Yevgeny leans back in his chair, holding his phone.
Take him. Please.
Another?
Back at Spencer's stately home.
Travis, you'll be responsible for collecting materials. Here's a list of everything we need immediately. Now follow my instructions carefully, you understand?
Travis nods. Jarvis strides in through the front door.
Look here, Trav. You may not be a full member of this team yet, but son, you're a full member of mine. If you just keep your mind on the job in hand, I know you can do me proud.
Tom gives his son a reassuring wink.
Jarvis, thank goodness you're back. We haven't eaten properly since you left, and poor Todger hasn't eaten at all.
The larder is completely empty, my lord. And I'm afraid you won't be eating anything until I've collected some provisions.
Just going shopping, if you'd like to give me a list.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Mr. Travis, but I think it best if I go on my own. Thank you very much.
Clutching his shopping list, Travis pushes a trolley through a DIY store. At Spencer's house, they study photos and blueprints.
Are you sure it was a good idea sending Travis?
Believe me, he'll do what has to be done. It's just that he's overwhelmed, gets a bit confused.
Consider it a test. Let's give the boy a chance, shall we? And we all know Jarvis will be with him.
Ah, so that's really what concerns me. With Jarvis back around here, we need to be more discreet. I can't believe you got him back before the mission was complete.
Oh, come on, Tom. Who knows what he's been telling the Russians? I like him where I can keep my eye on him.
And he can keep an eye on us.
At the DIY store, Jarvis spies through a window as Travis wanders through the bathroom section. Two assistants push a tall ladder on wheels. Jarvis appears near the roof of the store, now peering into another aisle where Travis is shopping. Jarvis is standing at the top of the ladder that's being pushed. His head collides with a sign hanging from the ceiling. As Travis pauses in the power tool section, Jarvis clambers up on a stack of paint tins to watch him. Travis grips a drill excitedly and points it like a gun. Jarvis watches with a sour and puzzled face and falls down. Travis scoops up a pile of metallic spray canisters. A security guard eyes the toppled paint tins. A can of pink paint splurges on the floor. The guard follows pink footprints and finds Jarvis hiding in a vertically placed bath.
Evening.
Would you just like to come with me, sir?
I'm doing a bit of surveillance work.
I can't believe Uncle Will just abandoned her. I wonder when he last had a drive in the open air.
Not in a very long time.
Fiona and Tom push a neglected open-top Rolls-Royce piled up with rubbish from a barn on Spencer's estate. Near a lake, Travis hijacks a six-wheel all-terrain gardening vehicle piled up with leaves. He slips goggles over his eyes and speeds away, leaving a trail of leaves on the front lawn of the house. The elderly gardener, who is collecting the leaves, stares around in confusion as he finds the vehicle is gone. Crouched over the steering wheel like a racing driver, Travis drives it into the barn where Tom and Fiona wait.
Is that what she spent £5,000 on?
This is quality. And costs a lot less. It's a quality leaf collector. Look.
This is titanium. Once we spray this thing up, it'll be worth, oh, at least 50 million.
You can't be that stupid.
Let's just give it a try, shall we?
I'm not sure it would be entirely convincing, but...
Well, it's our job to make it convincing.
And what about everything else?
Ah, you mean the robotic arm trainer with a 5-switch wired controller to grab, release, lift, lower, rotate wrist and go 340 degrees. 5 motors and 5 joints allow flexibility. The optional computer interface allows for dual control of robotic arm trainer. 5 axes of motion, the shoulder goes 120 degrees, the elbow moves 135 degrees, the wrist rotates 340 degrees. All with a maximum lifting capability of 130 kilograms.
Precisely.
I'm working on that.
Fiona winces despairingly. Tom smiles indulgently. Jarvis spies on them through binoculars. Tom is spraying the green gardening truck with the titanium. Travis drapes silver foil over the back. Their attempts to turn the vehicle into the space explorer look unconvincing.
What do you reckon, Dad?
Let's just wait till it's all covered, shall we?
Tom shakes another silver spray can and applies it to the bonnet of the little truck. Jarvis is perched on top of a stack of baled straw, focusing now on Fiona. Todger, the dog, leaps up to greet him, dislodging the bales. Whoa. And Jarvis, who lands face down in manure. Fiona stares dismissively at Travis. He smiles proudly.
Is this it?
Jarvis picks himself up out of the manure. Todger licks some of it from his face.
Thank you, Todger.
Spencer enters the barn.
So this is the famous astronautical roving space explorer.
Yes. It's a bit pathetic, isn't it?
I believe aluminium sheeting was on your list, Travis. Was it not?
Travis looks a little hurt. Fiona looks exasperated and raises an eyebrow to Spencer, who takes off his jacket and hands it to Travis.
Right, hold this. Tom, take this.
Spencer hands Tom a sheet of aluminium.
Have you got the cutters, Travis?
Right here.
They're scissors.
They stiffen as Jarvis appears in the barn.
Luncheon is served.
Jarvis, do you have any tools that will cut through this?
Oh, I'm not sure, sir. Shall I get someone in, a carpenter, electrician? Perhaps the gardener.
Oh, don't worry, Jarvis, we'll find something. Did you say lunch?
Yes, sir.
Let's eat, shall we?
Certainly, sir.
Jarvis strains to see what's going on. Next, he wheels a trolley with a silver server into the field where a table is set and the wine is cooling.
Oh, look, Travis. There's a nice cart. Surprised you didn't think of using that one.
What's wrong with it? But it was quite impressive.
I didn't.
Shall I carve or will you, sir?
Carry on, Jarvis.
I'll have you know that the astronautical roving space explorer has been specifically...
Might I have a word, my lord?
Of course.
I know you're up to something. Not quite sure what, but those Russians were very interested.
I know, it's my job to market it.
Yes, you marketed a space exploration vehicle. Not a reconnaissance vehicle you'd expect to find with the Royal Camp Fusiliers.
I don't understand. I have no idea what you're talking about, Jarvis.
When I was discharged from the force, I was left with nothing. I never married.
Oh, keep your hammer off the table, all right?
Now, I have worked for you faithfully for over 20 years. And now I want in. I can help. I have certain skills that you need.
Spencer stares uneasily at Jarvis's carving knife.
Very well, Jarvis. You're in.
Thank you, sir.
I seem to have lost my appetite.
One more word.
Very well.
Cut that into quarters, would you? You have an extra member of the team now. I'll just have some bread and cheese.
Certainly, sir. I do hope this chicken's not too dry. We seem to have completely run out of tin foil.
The gardener watches racing on TV.
Where are you, Avenue? Where are you? Ah, come on, there you are. Get a move on there. Come on, come on. A bit more, a bit more. Come on now. Get it, get up there. Get up there, come on. Put a bit more life into it. Come on, come on, come on.
Come on, you're nearly there. You're nearly there. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
The TV picture disappears. Fiona struts to the barn, holding the satellite dish. The gardener hits the TV with his cap and leaves his hut. He goes to his sit-on lawnmower and stares in shock. The wheels have gone. Fiona walks by the lake with the satellite dish, followed by Tom and Jarvis holding the lawnmower wheels. A wheel rolls away from Jarvis, and he chases after it. In fast time in the barn, the lawnmower wheels are added to the gardening truck. Two cows in a field drink from a trough. Travis walks from the barn trailing a load of silver tinfoil. Jarvis and Tom pick up the cow's trough and carry it to the barn. The water drips on Jarvis's legs. The sheets of aluminium are cut and hammered. More materials are brought past the lake to the barn. Jarvis wheels a barrow which tips over. Things fall out and he kicks the wheelbarrow several times. Inside the barn, the mock-up of the space explorer begins to take a convincing shape. Jarvis is still kicking his overturned wheelbarrow as Todger rushes past to see what all the excitement is about. Dressed in a grimy vest and a baseball cap, Travis studies the blueprints and the intricacies of the construction at a workbench. The team leave and then return with more gear. Fiona, wearing blue jeans and a white top with her blonde hair in bunches, and Todger, now holding a bone in his mouth. Travis works on a robotic arm, which works on him by grabbing his baseball cap. The official-looking logo, spelling A-R-S-E, is morphed onto the metal. Several pictures now, the aluminium being hammered, the cows without their water trough, Todger dashing about, Tom creating sparks with an angle grinder, Travis tripping and falling and trying to retrieve his cap from the robotic arm. Leading the operation, Spencer carefully studies the prototype blueprints they stole from the space agency. In a face mask and goggles, Tom skillfully smooths the aluminium joints with a power tool. Fiona and Spencer guide the new explorer out of the barn.
Keep coming. Come on.
Spencer smiles proudly at the replica.
O ye of little faith.
Never doubted you, Uncle. Know you're every bit as good as your reputation.
Right then. Only one problem. The IDD arm.
The IDD robotic arm with a 5-switch wide controller to grab, release, lift, lower and pivot wrist.
All right, Travis, that's enough prattling. Let's get it fitted.
Well done, Travis. Does it actually work?
We'll make it work.
So, what's the plan?
This is how the operation will proceed. You'll each have a specific role. And finally, Jarvis will take the cash in the Range Rover. When I give the signal, you go straight to the hotel. We'll behave normally here for a couple of days, let the dust settle, and then I'll send you a message to confirm the rendezvous time at the hotel. We'll meet up there, share out the cash, our separate ways.
Time has passed. Jarvis plonks his chauffeur's cap on his head. He drives the Range Rover through an old military aerodrome, followed by a smart saloon car and a utility vehicle. Boris, Yevgeny, and another Russian in a suit, who looks like he's the boss, get from the car. Two uniformed soldiers alight from the utility vehicle. Bald-headed Yevgeny carries a blue case. Spencer greets the Russian boss, a tall man with a neat beard.
Mr. Leonidov.
The Explorer.
Right this way.
Spencer opens the doors of a Nissan hut.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Leonidov stares admiringly at the replica.
This is all very dramatic.
Turn on the lights, please. I want to examine the goods closely. You said you would bring us to top secret laboratory. This place looks like no one is here since World War.
That's what makes it so secret. No one would ever know.
Our head technician is very proud of his laboratory. Now shall we get on with business? Gentlemen, may I present to you the astronautical roving space explorer. Now for a demonstration. The IDD device is, of course, voice activated. All you have to say is collect.
Tom tosses a rock onto the ground.
Collect, Alpha One Moonrock.
Unseen, Travis is inside the replica operating the robotic arm.
Collect, Alpha One Moonrock.
The arm moves but can't quite reach the rock.
It's not working.
It's just confused.
You didn't ask it to pick up normal rock.
The arm hits the senior Russian in the crotch. The soldiers cock their weapons.
Let's just all calm down, shall we? Explorer, collect normal rock.
Inside the replica, Travis concentrates as he manipulates the arm to pick up the rock with its prong.
It must be your Russian accent. It's currently programmed for the English accent. The Queen's English, actually.
Even an American would have problems until the voice recognition software relearns.
Ah, so. But what about the blueprints? We will need technical information, and we don't want to hear the Chinese are in mass production by next week.
We have working drawings, the most precise available.
You think we are stupid? The plans are electronic. It would be impossible to have complete blueprint here.
These are just for the chassis styling. Tom, the electronic plans are in the Range Rover. Would you mind bringing them over for Mr. Leonidov?
Ah, the electronic plans, of course.
Let me show you something else.
Excuse me, Jarvis.
Huh?
What are you doing?
Tom whips a CD from the Range Rover and sprays it with silver paint.
Excuse me, that's my favourite record.
We all have to make our little sacrifices, Jarvis.
You could have... Behind you now.
Tom, if you get the Explorer ready to leave, I'll conclude the business here.
Blueprints.
Thank you.
So, the money?
Yevgeny opens the blue case stacked with banknotes.
Excellent. Jarvis?
Jarvis blows air through his lips as he sees the money. Spencer puts the case in the back of the Range Rover and Jarvis drives off.
Where is he going?
He's just checking the north entrance is all clear so you can leave undetected with the Explorer.
Давай, машина!
The soldiers load the replica onto a trailer. It's covered by a tarpaulin. They follow the Russian car across the airstrip. Tom and Spencer close the double doors of the Nissen hut. In the car, the senior Russian turns round to check his cargo. Moments later, the replica appears again at the Nissen hut. Travis leans from the hatch.
So now, we sell it to the Chinese, right?
We destroy it. Your father and I have never been traitors to our queen and country. Now, we built this machine using the original plans. We wouldn't want to betray our national security, right, Tom?
Right.
Leonidov sees silver paint on his hands. He reaches into his inside pocket, takes out the CD and rubs paint off it. The car skids to a halt.
We sold them a very expensive block of polystyrene.
The Russians speed back.
It's hardly the crime of the century.
Spencer peers through a hole in the door and sees the Russians.
Let's go!
They've gone. Hang it before they sell it to the Chinese!
They load up the replica again. The Russians speed away once more. From inside the replica, Travis operates the robotic arm.
Travis.
The iron ties the rope, securing the tarpaulin to the replica.
You can do it, Travis. Come on. Go.
They're leaving now.
The tarpaulin blows onto the windscreen of the Russian car, blocking the view. Now the arm disconnects the tow bar.
Oh, yes!
The replica rolls off the trailer. With bits dropping off, the replica, driven by Tom, speeds away.
Straight ahead, Tom, straight ahead!
The Russians swing round and race after it. In a marquee, tables are being prepared for a wedding reception.
Dad, where are you going?
Which way, Will?
Go left! No. Tom, watch out for the police car, Dad, watch out!
The veers off the road and through bushes.
Nice legs.
Followed by a police Land Rover, they crash through the wedding marquee, which collapses along with a cooking stove. The wedding cake on a hostess trolley becomes attached to the police vehicle.
Where's the car?
A ball of flames is in the wake of the police car as it meets the Russians coming in the opposite direction. The Russians swing round and follow the chaos. More police and fire appliances join the bizarre chase.
Come on, Tom. Come on, Dad.
Ahead of the futuristic-looking replica of the Space Explorer and the emergency vehicles is a convoy of wedding cars. Emergency vehicles, now including an ambulance, screeches to a halt with the wedding cars and the Russians, while the much slenderer replica shoots through a gap.
Did you put
There's Fiona!
Right, abandon ship! Let's get out, come on! Go, go, go! Quick, now, let's go!
The bride in her wedding dress attacks the senior Russian with her bouquet. Spencer, Travis and Tom leap from the replica and jump into the waiting open-top Rolls Royce. Fiona is at the wheel. The replica trundles on out of control. It crashes down a steep bank and breaks up as it plunges into a river.
So how about this for a stylish getaway?
I just can't believe we made it out alive.
Yes, but what about the cash?
Show me the money.
Show me the money!
Yes, Will, are you sure it was such a good idea to give Jarvis the money?
I take your bag, sir.
No, I'm fine, thank
sure.
you.
No, I'm fine, thank you.
All in good time, Tom. Trust me.
With the case of money, Jarvis checks into a hotel. In the twin-bedded room, he rubs his hands together and taps the case that rests on a bed. Later, in shirt sleeves, he drinks coffee and opens the case to look at the banknotes. He presses on them. Later still, he sits on one of the single beds and sips a whiskey. He checks his watch and looks bored. More time passes. He switches on the TV and sits in front of it, holding the remote control. He shrinks back at the content. Now he lies on top of a bed, watching the TV. He sits in an armchair, minus his black tie. He checks the money once more. Then he lies on the bed, with his feet resting on the case, eating from a packet of crisps. Now the money is in neat piles on top of the other bed as he counts it. He's back on the chair reading a newspaper. The curtains are drawn shut. The remains of a meal are on a tray. Next, with the lights off, He wakes on the bed, clutching the case to his chest. He pulls back the curtains, revealing daylight. He holds his head in his hands as he plods towards the phone. Elsewhere, Boris and Yevgeny are listening on headphones.
Right, my lord. 12 o'clock. Thank you.
The two Russians exchange a glance. Looking conspiratorial, Jarvis picks up the phone again.
Hello, Special Branch. I have some information that may be of great importance to you.
As Jarvis steps from the lift, Boris and Yevgeny grab him.
Mr. Jarvis, our money.
Keep your voice down. Don't worry, you'll get your money.
You're not planning on stiffing us, are you?
Of course I'm not planning to stiff you. I can hardly open a suitcase full of money here, can I? But don't worry. We've got a deal. And with your share of the money, you'll never have to go back to Siberia again.
In a flashback to the Russian safe house, Yevgeny shakes Jarvis's hand and then Boris does, a little harder.
Nazdravye.
Nastroga.
Nastrovia.
Da. Thank you.
Yevgeny says, never trust an ex-cop, especially one that looks like an extra from the Sweeney.
I'll get someone to help you with your luggage, sir.
No, that won't be necessary, thank you.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive, thank you.
As Jarvis checks out, a young couple in dark glasses are kissing behind him. Tom, dressed as a porter, sweeps past with a luggage trolley. On the trolley, a case identical to the one Jarvis guards. Jarvis follows the trolley along a corridor with the two Russians. He spots the case similar to his and glances intently from one to the other with a puzzled look. The courting couple exit and take off their dark glasses. It's Fiona and Travis. Tom takes the case from the trolley and follows, leaving the trolley jamming the revolving doors. Jarvis and the Russians can't get out. Tom does a quick change into a chauffeur's uniform and drives Fiona and Travis away in the open-top Rolls Royce. As they drive off, a police car arrives, followed by a black unmarked car. Jarvis checks the contents of the case. It contains not the money, but the blueprints. The police and a sensual woman from the special branch stride in.
Oh dear, what have we here? In league with the Russian mafia, are we? I suppose you gentlemen will be pleading diplomatic immunity. And you, you're knit. You're not obliged to say anything, but anything you do say will be taken down and may be used in evidence. You're under arrest for the theft and ultimately the destruction of property belonging to the British Space Agency.
No, 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 you've got it all wrong. Explorer didn't even exist.
Oh, I don't think so. One of the top officials at the Space Center used her own resources to track you down.
Yes, but she is one of them.
Really, Jarvis, you'll have to do better than that. And where you're going, you won't be bothering Lord Arlington Spencer or his family for a long, long time.
Oh, I say.
It is an absolute tragedy that the astronautical roving space explorer, an IDD, was stolen and destroyed. I am saddened and shocked by what has happened. I am further saddened to see that it was, in fact, a former police officer who appears to be behind this despicable crime. But please, rest assured that the culprits are being severely dealt with. I would just like to make one final note to thank Miss Fiona Arlington Spencer, the press relations and marketing director here at the Space Agency, for her assistance in catching the thieves. Now, if it were not for her and her quick thinking, I dread to think of the consequences. Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will keep you informed of any further developments.
Oh, well, thank you.
Very good orders. You're marvellous. Absolutely. Yes, you were marvellous. Good work, Will.
I'm confused. You know each other?
Of course. Travels at Cambridge. He held a research fellowship there.
So You knew everything.
Yes, yes. We couldn't afford to develop Explorer fully without additional funding. And Will has effectively given us additional breathing space. Will, as always, you are indeed a great asset to our economy. If in a somewhat unconventional manner. Onwards and upwards. To Mars. Come on.
Fiona and Spencer share a quizzical, amused glance as they leave. Fiona shakes her head. Outside, Tom and Travis pull up for their final getaway in the Rolls-Royce.
Why don't you drive, Will?
Tom gets from behind the wheel. Spencer takes his place.
Say good, Travis.
Travis leaps into the back seat next to Fiona as the car glides away from the British Space Agency.
Admit it, Will, you missed the old days. Cooped up in the house all these years. Hell, I missed the old days. I even missed Jarvis, and I never thought I'd say that.
I almost feel sorry for the old man.
This is really not good enough. I'll have you know I have very important friends on the outside.
Todger waits alone outside Wormwood Scrub's prison.
So what's next?
Whatever it is, me too. In, that is.
The Rills drives over Tower Bridge.
Well, looks like Marks and Spencer are finally back in business.
Marks and Spencer's?
And son, if you'll have me.
Tom looks to Spencer, who gives his approval.
And son.
Travis opens the blue case and the money blows away. The end, but some outtakes follow.
Maybe we could give them the blueprint. Maybe we could give them...
Fiona and Travis sit eating. Travis has a giggling fit and spits food back onto the plate. Spencer feeds Todger some titbits.
Come on. He loved them.
Even if in a... even if with me... out. What?
Shall I call someone in? Somebody else, maybe. And then we go again. You really must have done something. Aircraft.
Oh, you're not going to come through the door.
With the utmost respect to Lord Smythe, so can I do it. With the utmost respect... Oh, gosh, why?
You want me taller 1 minute, shorter the next.
It's giggles as they try to make a fast getaway in the Rolls-Royce, but have difficulty opening the door. Tom's trolley doesn't block the hotel's revolving doors. Not this time, anyway.
Hello. Welcome to the
And Jarvis, you'll take the cash in the Range Rover. When I give the signal, you go straight to the hotel. We'll behave normally here for a couple of days, let the dust settle, and then I'll send you a signal to confirm the... Ah! Yeah.